Check in now with Quincy Mayor Thomas Koch for our weekly City Hall updates. Hi, Mayor.
How you doing, Joe?
I'm okay, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Good, good. The calm before the storm today.
Yeah, it's sunny and beautiful, but it's chilly.
Isn't it? It is. We're girding ourselves, I'm sure, here in the city for what's to come.
Yeah, it's always interesting, the first major one of the year, because it's interesting, we get snow every year, but people seem to forget it from year to year, you know?
Yes.
So, you know, getting people to follow the rules and the parking guidelines and so forth is always tricky. Plus, you get new people moving in, and, you know, they're not aware of the rules and regulations. And you get some cases, you get new contractors or new personnel in driving some of the equipment, learning the routes. So it's never perfect, that first storm. So we're going to do the best we can. We're certainly well prepared.
Yeah. It's now, as I understand, it's an even year, so parking on the even-numbered side of side streets when there's a
That's
snow
correct.
Emergency? Yeah.
Yeah, no parking on the main thoroughfares, the major arteries. So only the side streets, the even side, correct. And even if you have a driveway, you know, and it fits three or four cars, but you only put two in and put two out front, put them all in. It helps us,
yes.
You know. So anyway, it's that's always the battle, particularly some of the more narrow streets that we have some trouble with. It's just difficult to get the vehicles up and down. So.
Sure.
So if we have to tow, we will.
What is the game plan? It's not really supposed to start till tomorrow night, and then it looks like an all-day event on Thursday. So what's the plan of attack?
Well, we'll wait and see what happens tomorrow, because you don't want to call a snow emergency too early.
Yeah.
In case this should go out to sea. And we should be so lucky. But we'll probably sometime later tomorrow set the time when we'll institute the snow emergency. And then, for example, tonight we'll be out actually in some of the difficult neighborhoods putting flyers on windshields, letting them know that they can't park there during a storm.
Mm-hmm.
So there's certain streets that are always problematic, and it's we focus on those ones a couple days before the storm to get the word out. So there shouldn't be any excuses, you know.
Yeah, I'm guessing around the train stations is probably an issue. And
yeah, some of those narrow streets in Montclair, along they go parallel with Newport and the mm-hmm. tracks, and there's some other spots in North Quincy, the Point,
yeah.
House Neck. They're very narrow, and you know, some people, I don't know what they think sometimes when they pull in and park and you can't see that there's not a whole lot of distance between them and the one across the street. How are you going to get a plow? Or, for that matter, a fire truck if
right.
it was an emergency. And that's kind of key in the end. It's about public safety.
Yeah. Will there will the brine be able to use it at all, do you think, for this storm or no?
I'm not sure what the strategy is on that.
Okay.
It sounds like it's going to be a cold, fluffy snow,
mm-hmm.
which I know there's different strategies when they have that versus the more wet, slicker stuff. So
yep.
I'll be chatting with the commission a little while.
Okay, very good. And as far as school goes, I mean, is there ever going to be such a thing as a snow day again?
It's a good question.
I mean, really?
That is a good question.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, indeed.
Certainly switching even from hybrid to fully remote would take some planning, right?
I guess, and you know, getting through this year, it's, you know, hopefully getting through this year and
yeah.
looking back, we can learn an awful lot, you know, but, you know, you'd hate to take them away completely all the time, but mm-hmm. if we certainly get into a winter like we did in 15, then I think we could go the remote route easily and not lose that number of school days and end up going to school almost till July 1st. So,
right.
So I think that finding that balance, I think, would be the key.
Yeah. How are schools doing right now, Mayor, with the pandemic?
Doing well. I mean, you know, we got 10,000 kids in the school system. You got, you know, 850 teachers and lots of paras and secretaries and mm-hmm. nurses and cafeteria workers, custodies and the whole bit. So, you know, we got people that are out with the virus. That there's been very few, if any, school transmissions traced. It's all been from the outside bringing it in. So
right.
That's a good sign. That means we're doing what we're supposed to be doing in the schools. But having said that, it's still, you know, it is what it is. It
yeah.
makes it more and more challenging when you lose your regular teacher, you're putting substitutes in. It just doesn't have the same quite impact as their regular teacher. So we're doing the best we can. We're limping through.
Yeah. As you know, Boston's doing a bit of a rollback. Do you anticipate something like that trying to happen in Quincy?
You know, they're scheduled to get out later this week for school vacation, and then we'll see what happens,
yeah.
you know. Obviously, the numbers are going up all around us, everywhere,
yep.
including us in Quincy. So And it was somewhat predicted. We've been talking about this for months. Mm-hmm. Here we are, so we'll see what happens.
Are you encouraged, though, that the vaccine is here?
I am encouraged, mm-hmm. I know there's been a lot of bad things said about President Trump, and much of it's probably is deserving, but, you got to give him a little bit of credit on the drive him and the administration put on the vaccine part of it. They loosened up the regulations. They put billions of dollars into the marketplace for it. We're seeing that light at the end of the tunnel, if you will, on that. Hopefully the tunnel isn't too long for everybody to get it. Mm. And we'll see, see what obviously health workers and those most susceptible get it first. And then the next round, it's the teachers and other folks. There's a plan in place. Let's hope it works and we can get everyone through it.
Yeah. Do you think that a federal relief package is crucial for Quincy?
Of course I do.
Yeah.
Absolutely I do. I mean, we're seeing a rough economy. We're seeing tremendous drops in certain areas of revenue, and that has an impact. And even property tax, even if you're off a half percent or a percent, that's millions of dollars on how we collect and what we collect. So it's definitely having an impact, and we saw that in us setting the tax rate, trying to buy down that number as best we could because of the challenges we had. And what's interesting is it's kind of mind-boggling a little bit, Joe, in that the single-family residences still are going up dramatically in value, mm-hmm. even through this craziness. There's people bidding on houses. It's amazing to me. So that has an effect on the value in the wrong way, obviously, for the taxpayer. The rate is the lowest it's been in 20 years. It's the value driving it. But at the end of the day, we lost a lot of receipts in hotel tax and building permit fees and meals tax and, a lot of other areas that normally would be more robust than they are right now. So it does have an impact on us. A year ago, around this time, they were talking about a major infrastructure bill, which I was really getting my hopes up for, which would have been monies for, transportation issues, fixing bridges and roads and parking garages. And then, of course, once the pandemic, it all switched over to dealing with the pandemic. And right now, and I understand some of the feeling in Washington with some of the folks in that they just don't want to bail out states and cities that aren't well run. And I understand where they're coming from. The flip side is this is affecting everybody. So they got to come up with some kind of an equitable program, I think, and help all of us. And it, look, if we have to go down the road of starting to lay off, it's kind of an effect on the classroom. It's kind of an effect on, putting police officers and firemen out there. And now you're putting more people unemployed in the economy. I mean, it just has this spiraling effect that if they could come up with a stimulus package that would help us get through this hump, I think it would go a long way protecting the economy. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Can we talk about a local issue, Mayor? Speaking of future development, the City Council last night did approve of the LDA for the two remaining parcels at the old Hancock parking lot.
Yes. That was presented to them months ago, and then we had the updated version a few months back. And I'm grateful for the council, doing their job, their due diligence, and making the recommendation. It doesn't cement anything in, except it allows us to go forward with them to put the deal together. But the deal has to be approved at the planning board. In other words, the project itself has to carry itself, meeting the design guidelines of the Quincy Center and. There's certain parking ratios, a certain size of the units, all of those things. Now, we get into the weeds in the planning board and the planning department on that aspect of it. So this was an important step for how we refer to the lots as R2 and R3. So that lot next to the new O'Connell building across from the courthouse is R2. And then the corner up where Patty's Barry and Napoli Pizza, that corner behind it is the city-owned portion between there and the garage. And LBC has bought that block, so they already own that. And that's what makes them unique in this deal. This is only valuable to city land to those that own that block, because it's too small a parcel otherwise to do anything independently. So that's why they're at the table, because they're the natural abutter to it that makes some sense to put the real estate together to have the density needed. You know, so we'll see what happens. So you know, they certainly built the other building. They're doing quite well in their rentals there. So the marketplace still seems to be hot for rentals in Quincy. So we'll see. We'll watch it closely and see what happens in the coming months.
There was some concern raised about the impact on the existing businesses there, and LBC was, you know, called upon to treat them fairly. Do you think they will?
I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, with all due respect to everybody, you get in the business world, everybody gets pretty selfish. So, you know, the people that own the land think it's worth $1 billion. They know it's a stick-up. They want to get as much as they can out of the developer. The developer wants to make as much money on the project as they can, so they're going to try to lowball it. I mean, you know, I've witnessed this over the years, time and time again. So hopefully both sides are fair and can come to terms. But the reality is, at the end of the day, there was going to be disruption. If we wanted changes in Quincy Center, we just couldn't allow these little one-story buildings to stay there as they are. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to affect any change in the center. So, yes, I hope that we can deal with everyone in a fair and equitable way, and we'll certainly hold LBC's feet to the fire to that as well.
Were these the last two remaining city parcels there on that lot?
That's it, correct.
Okay. So
yep. That wraps up the Hancock side. Now we'll be focusing on the Ross side, which is going to be the McConville and Dunford side now.
Right. The timeline now for this parcel, this LBC development, what is the next step?
Well, I know they have preliminary drawings, and they're well into engineering and architectural plans.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got to file those. They probably have already had an informal with the planning department. They've got to file them formally with the planning board, and then they'll get into the weeds and start going over the plans and whether the planning board and department thinks it's the right way to go, or or they may recommend some changes. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. Mayor, as you're well aware, of course, the Long Island Bridge made news again recently, the plans to reconstruct it, at least, with the court overturning the Quincy Conservation's denial of a permit for the city. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm not totally surprised by that. And we've got other steps along the way here. I know we're considering appealing that decision by the judge. The judge's ruling was very extensive and very detailed. So we're looking at that closely. Our lawyers, I should say, are looking at that. I am not. They'll make some recommendations to me on how to proceed in that regard. But there are a lot of other steps here the city of Boston has to get through before there's any permit issued to build or construct a bridge. So we're still a little ways off.
Okay. Are you confident that he'll prevail in the end?
I'm not confident.
Okay.
I'm not, nor am I pessimistic. I just don't know. We're certainly putting up a fight every step of the way, just as I told the mayor of Boston I would do on behalf of the residents of Quincy, North Quincy, Squam, Marina Bay. They're going to feel the effects of that traffic. And I still think it's really foolhardy, the plan. I think it's a waste of tens and tens of millions of dollars to build a what would be probably $100 to $120 million bridge, and then to have to spend probably tens of millions on the buildings. They're all decrepit. They're all failing. See, if you could find a place on the mainland and you could put all of that money directly into something, it would probably cost you one quarter to a third of what you're looking at to do it out there. So I still got to believe that there's a cozy deal somewhere for development in Long Island, and that's what scares me, the traffic with. It's not necessarily the use that the mayor's been talking about. I think we need to deal with that population in a compassionate way. But, you know, you get that bridge back, there's a lot of acreage at Long Island, and they could clearly open that up for further development. And then we've got no seat at the table. Now's the time. The MEEPA and environmental, they all should be looking at that, what potentially could go on out there. That's what's a little troubling here. But we're going to, you know, keep up the fight. Nothing personal between the mayor of Boston and I, but certainly I'm going to use every tool I can to keep him from building it.
Very good. Mayor, I will be off now through the new year, so I wanted to wish you and your family and your staff a very happy, healthy holiday season and a better new year.
Well, thank you, Joe. Certainly wish you the same and our listeners out there, those loyal, faithful following of QATV. I know we're talking about a major storm, but wouldn't it be nice for the kids to get some Christmas snow, right? So certainly glad for them. But certainly thank you, Joe, and to help us get the word out each and every week. And certainly everybody out there, want to wish them, you know, whatever your faith tradition, Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. And let's hope 2021 brings with it some good health, obviously a robust vaccine season, and many more blessings, because I think everyone's saying good riddance to 2020.
I don't think there are going to be a lot of folks missing it, that's for sure.
Agreed.
Have a wonderful day, Mayor. Thank you.
Take care, Joe.
Bye-bye.